Okay, so let's do a little more about the dead. A little more. Hanenim and Amor Sheniach Lezeche Nishmas Hamesim Sechshon Lift Yirasoi Tzrichim Hanenim Mimenu Loi Mavu Racham Yichaper Ovo. Now, what does this mean exactly? This you don't hear about today. If a person makes a donation to a yeshiva or to a shul or to some institution for the zuchus of a nifter, someone died and they donate a building. Think about go to an extreme example. A person, I'm giving you $1 million to build a new building for your yeshiva, and on the outside of the building they put the person's name, so the talmidim every single day who derive benefit from this building that was built for the zuchus of the niftar should say v'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis v'erbo liyashiva po v'lo yir. In other words, they should pray for the dead
every day.
Listen, obviously, like we discussed this at great length yesterday, balance. To commercialize every single thing should be l'zecher l'ili nishmas. We discussed this yesterday at great length. Can become nauseating. So obviously there is a degree of balance, but he does mention this point, you cannot deny what it says, is that a person who is the beneficiary of money that was given for the zuchus of a niftar has a duty to acknowledge that I am deriving benefit. Let's say Rachman al-Son, a poor person, has no choice but to take charity, and it's given because it was given as a zuchus for the niftar. He should pray for the person who had passed away, and should pray for him, and just say the pasuk, one simple pasuk, v'hu rachum yichaper avon, b'zoy sahana, and he should say the following words: this pleasure sha'ani nene that I am deriving al oidois ploni bar ploni concerning so and so, v'chatoso tichupar, may any outstanding sin that he has after he left this world may be forgiven, v'navshay b'toiv tolin. May his soul rest in a state of goodness, al goral hatzadikim, together with the lot of the righteous, batoiv in the merit, batoiv shemitivin loy ba'ado, in the merit of the good that his family has done on his behalf. Look at me, I am receiving benefit. This family has given me. I have a need. I have a problem. I know someone he gave $50,000 to a couple that was having difficulty having a child, conceiving, IVF, to pay for their IVF treatment. The insurance didn't want to pay, whatever the situation is, whatever. So he just, instead of waiting all the red tape and the insurance and this and that, the whole nightmare, he gave someone, he just basically paid for the whole thing. And a very, very, obviously a very wealthy person. So, and he didn't do this. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but let's say make believe theoretically, the person says, I'm doing this for the zuchus of a person who passed away. So the family, the parents who are the beneficiaries of this bracha, someone paid for this treatment, for this service, which otherwise they would not have got, at least not immediately, and it enabled them to have a child right away. So it's their duty. He's making this statement: we have a child because of you. You paid for it. The insurance didn't want to pay. It would have been a major, major nightmare. Who knows how long it would have taken if it even would have happened. And you just came along and took away the whole problem in one second. And you gave this money in the goodness of your heart. And you gave it. Now, normally, the nice thing to do is just to give it quietly, right? But sometimes people have a need, and you can't blame them. I'm doing this as a zuchus for a niftar, or a zuchus for a fuah shalema. You're entitled to do that, okay? We discussed yesterday the balance of taking advantage and commercializing everything, but a person has the right to go and give money, tzedakah, l'zecher nishmas, someone. So the Sefer Chassidim is telling us that you don't often hear, if you ever hear it. The beneficiaries of tzedakah have a duty to be mechabed, to pray for the one for whom the money is given for. It's one thing you have, like someone, you go to shul, you have a sitter. Open every sitter, b'li yoytzem in aklal, you open the sitter in the shul, it was given as a donation for l'ili nishmas. So does that mean that every time you open up a siddur in shul, before you start davening, or before davening is over, you have to say, oh, there's a name over here in the siddur. I have to say, v'racham, you would say, this ganze nosach. You don't see anyone do that. Because a siddur, it costs $15. The $15, you're not entitled. You're not entitled that every day after davening, I should go read this. Right? You're not entitled to that.
Open up the page
and see. Okay, once in a while. It's no, it's okay. All right, we discussed this yesterday. We discussed, yeah, $15 is a lot of money. You're right, it is. It's a lot of money, $15. It's a very big chesed. But there are certain conventions, there are certain degrees of expectation you have in this world. But if a person, now this is something which makes a lot of sense, if a person paid $50,000, that's a lot of money. For you to have a child, and the person gave the money as le'ilui nishmas, a relative of his who died not that long ago, it makes a lot of sense that you should make this halacha very practical, that the parents, and maybe even the child one day when he gets older, should on the yard site, at least on the yard site of that person for whom the money was given, le'zecha nishmas, should be mispalel, should do something, should make a tikkun, should do it. Something.
What if he gives the name of the saint of the
child? That's the most amazing thing possible. That's like off the charts, right? That would be really off the charts to do that. But not everyone can do such a thing. You know, you have obligations in your family. Also, these things are very quiet. You're not mafar saying these things. So you go and you're going to name the baby after the person. You don't want to be mafar saying the baby was IVF. You know, there's a certain degree of, depends who. Listen, everyone is different. But there's a certain degree of dignity. People, you know, hatsnei aleches, especially in these inyanim. There is a lot of truth to what he says, and you don't often hear this. You are the beneficiary of a chesed that was done lezuchus. You have a duty to connect with that neshama for whom this benefit was sponsored, mm-hmm. and to do something for that neshama.
Does the neshama get a reward for that, or only the person donating it?
We said yesterday we have no idea how these things work. Obviously, there's such a principle that we learned yesterday that a neshama is always in a state of agitation in the next world. Every Rosh Chodesh it says, the Pischa Yishol Gehenim is opened once again. Every Rosh Chodesh, Zman kapara l'chol toledosam. We discussed this yesterday. And therefore, a person in a neshama always needs help from the people in this world. Therefore, when the children, the grandchildren, and the relatives, the friends, they do things in this world in the merit of that neshama, it gives them a lot of pleasure. And it takes now a step further. The beneficiaries of this benefit have also a duty to acknowledge that we owe this neshama, we have to help this neshama, and he gives you this very beautiful, elaborate nusach. Only 1 year. We learn before even every 30 days. Okay, fine. Okay, you're right. It says here. Okay, it says only b'soich shana. Fine. It says b'soich shana l'ptirasa. It tzrichem anen mimen aloy ma'vurach b'chabavim b'ozos hano sheni nene aloy des ploni v'ar ploni v'chatosa t'chupar v'nafshoi b'toiv tolin. Al girl had tzadikim, batoiv in the merit of the good shemitivin loy ba'ado that his family has done on his behalf. The ruchoy targia the chelik hatoivim, may his spirit have pleasure. Targia means have delight in the portion of the good. The achar kach yoimar v'hu rachum yichaper ul nekeva yoimar b'loshon nekeva. Let's say he is not the only beneficiary. Let's say his entire family. Yoimar b'hanoshe mehanim oisanu. Change it to the plural. Ba'ad nefesh plani. He has a whole nusach of here. What a person should say. There's a lot of musar in these words. Next halacha. B'yameinu.
What?
Akarzatayv. It doesn't akarzatayv, but right. Akarzatayv. Ein cha kafui toiva.
Say, if it says Lashon Hakeva, they'll say it means the Hirachum.
Well, you said the main word.
The word is sponsored. Today, everything is being sponsored.
Correct.
A shiurim is being sponsored. You have meals that are being sponsored because you come to the shiur. And then they name the person and in the source of that word. So, in essence, that's what's happening.
It's a vicious cycle. Problems, and here's the problem.
It's
there is definitely truth to it, but I personally believe that it's abused, and people are making more out of this than they're making us. That's the thing. It's false. That's why I think it's false fundraising, false advertising.
No,
there's no question that it is a noble thing. It is a correct thing. It's time immemorial to sponsor events and functions lezecher uli'ilu nishmas. People, that this is a given. I told you that sometimes it bothers me the degree of how far before you turn around they'll put on every tissue box. Every tissue box. What?
I'm sure in the yeshivas they have a sticker that says
this tissue box. So to me, I can't speak for anyone but myself. That's already nauseating.
It's not nauseating because they're giving a mishaberach every Shabbos for these people that are donating the tissues.
So make a mishaberach for someone that gives a significant amount of money.
Where are you getting this word significant? Your significant is different than mine.
Okay, I told you that I'm a das yochid in this matter. I told you that I may.
Spread all over.
Right.
I find it to be. To go put a sticker, someone puts, how much does the box cost? How much does this cost?
I'm not sure.
$3?
I'm not sure what you're going to.
$3?
No.
I think we're losing sight of what's going on.
These are cheap. Okay, these are the cheapest ones. Okay, so you're telling me.
We're losing sight of what's going on.
275.
It's fundraising, it's a car sato. What do you care? How is it hurting anybody by saying it was donated by the Morning Kollel?
Because it takes away, this is only my words. Okay, but listen to me, only my opinion. It takes away from doing something L'Shem Shemayim. It's like the Facebook generation. Everyone has to have a Facebook account. What do you do on a Facebook account? Look at my life. Let me tell you, it's all about me, myself, and I. It's a selfish, let me say something. I know what I'm saying, not everyone agrees with. Most don't agree. Let me just say my piece though, 1 second. We live in a generation where there is a very great emphasis on yourself. Narcissistic society. It's all about me. Everything is about me, myself, and all. You have a Facebook page, you have a Twitter account, and you have an Instagram account, and you have this and that, and you have to broadcast and show the whole world about you. Why don't you focus on someone else a little bit and not focus so much on you? It's not a Jewish hashkafa that every single thing should be about yourself. I personally feel that when you take a tissue box that costs $1.50 and you put a sticker, this box was donated by James Smith, L'zecher Nishmas Adam Smith. That's another way of a person saying, me. Another post on your Facebook page. What's so terrible if you donate this tissue box l'shem shamayim? No one knows.
Anonymous.
One knows. Chazal say that when it comes to tzedakah, let me say my piece, Rabbi said, please. When it comes to giving tzedakah, Chazal say the highest level of tzedakah is you should not know who is the recipient of your tzedakah, and they should not know who. No one should know from anyone. So you see that Chazal say the highest level is, so it used to be in the olden days, at least in my impression, is a person. Now we know that there's something in this world called fundraising, and there's mitzvah shlo l'shma bo l'shma, and if you're not going to go and give kavod to donors, you're not going to raise one penny. If you have an institution to run, and you need to pay the bills and pay the rebbeim, you need to raise big money, you need to make a dinner, you need to give people big, big honor. You need to give them a menorah, you need to go put their name on a building. That's the way the world works. It has to be like that. And there's nothing to discuss, and there's an element of hakaras hatoiv. But when it gets to the point where on a tissue box that costs $1.50, it has to say, don't forget, when you blow your nose, there's a person in this world called John Smith, and he has a relative, a tire yid, a tire in the neshama that's in Gan Eden, that's going to have an aliyah when you blow your nose.
And it goes in the
garden. What about the chazal that says, Hatsnei lechesim elokecha? What about the highest level of tzedakah? At least a dogma. We know that we live in a world of sheker, and you have to do things in order to get to the next day. But ad kedei kach, that on a tissue box also it has to say who the donor is? Again, this is my personal feeling. I'm well aware that there are people that if they could, they would put the name of a sponsor on each tissue itself for 5 cents. Well, yeah. And they do actually do it. You see the most bizarre, crazy things. I don't like it. I don't like it. I really don't like it. And I told you yesterday that the Aguda was criticized 7.5 years ago when they made it seem Ashas that they did just that. That they put people's names on tissue boxes. And this year, at this Siyam HaShas, it was very clear as day, they took into consideration all of the Musar they received because they sanitized the event with very little advertising at the event itself. The event itself, when you come in, there was no flashing banners all over the place donated by all these big names. People are nauseated. Do something l'shem shemayim. It's not all about yourself. I know you disagree. There has to be a healthy balance. A healthy balance. A tissue box, in my opinion, is a little bit of an extreme. I really don't like when I go to Landau's, it just echoes me to see.
You're right, but he's writing the time of the beneficiary to thank. You don't have to advertise it, but whoever uses it should simply thank you for whoever.
But to go and tell a person, don't blow your nose yet. Before you blow your nose, you have to say this nusach. Here's a card. Soon they'll print this nusach. They'll print on the back of the tissue box. So when you blow your nose, you should read this. It's crazy, totally crazy, insane. They're desperate. Also, that's what I was saying. See, this is what I was trying to say, is that I feel that a lot of these institutions, they prey upon people's ignorance, and their ignorance, people don't really know where the balance, they don't have time to think about where the balance is. And they make them think, that if you're not going to go do this, then the neshama, like a Christian theology, is going to go to Gehenna. So they prey upon your vulnerability, and they shame you into giving money. If you're not going to give the money, then there's no sponsor.
It's the liturgy.
No, it's not.
You say Kelmole, it says it. When you make the Mishabera.
Kelmoles was said for Kedoshim. They were said for holy martyrs. They were said for Choshev Rabbanim. They were not said for the average person. I'm sorry, I disagree. No, they were not said. They were said for Yechidei Skula. It's abused. It's abused. It's abused. The Kelmol, the shuls that I daven in, you'll be surprised. Or I daven, I don't see anyone in Chaim Berlin, they cannot make a Kelmol. If someone wants a Kelmol, they make it. But wholesale? There's a dime a dozen. You can have 1,000 people that you can make a kelmolis for. They don't make it. The way they were trained there is you don't make a kelmolay. So what's going to be with the yard site, the neshama? What's going to be? Don't worry. The neshama it can take care of itself a lot better than you can take care of yourself. Don't worry about it. And it becomes the last Shabbos, the last Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The shuls that some right the kel moles by mincha take an hour, literally an hour, and in the yeshivas there's no kel mole. Why? They were trained. Don't worry about it. The shama can take care of it. It really bothers you, make kel mole. We're not going to deny it from you. If you want it, make it. But wholesale. Okay, everyone now line up. Let's go read the board. You have a board over here. We'll go read every single neshama. There has to be a healthy balance. It was clearly never the intent of Chazal that you should go to such an extreme. There's a principle of a neshama is in need of help, and we do things for their zchus. We say Kaddish, down for the Amud, and we give tzedakah, and then he goes to over here. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid goes so far to say is that the recipient of the chesed should also feel the obligation to pray for the neshama. But you know, come on, how far are you going to go already? All right, let's go further. Enough. Reish mem gimel, b'yameinu sh'anu roim b'nei adam sh'loichim nashim sh'erim sidkani yais v'holidu banim sh'erim hu ganim. Okay, this is something which we don't. This is not really for us to pay attention to. No one knows anything about shaduchim, what's going to be. But he's talking about people that deliberately the women that were not proper, and they had children that in muganim or buloy toira kidugmas kiroyve ishtoi hayubana. Now he's talking about the principle of Esav. Nachsha, Elisheva. Aaron married Achois Nachshon. It's a Maimur Chazal. Roiv Bonim, Roiv, take after the brothers of the mother. It's a Chazal. It's not something you can ignore. Chazal say it, it's not something you can make fun of. Most children are similar to a degree to the brothers of the mother. So if a person knows, has an options, multiple options, and he marries a woman who's not religious, and her brothers are problematic, that's what he does. He does in extreme cases. Don't chas shalom today to go and make any analogy to anything today. As long as a person is a shomer Torah mitzvahs, no one's to judge anyone today. But he's talking over here at a time when people, even the intermarried, they married goyim, they married non-Jewish women, or they married from families that were totally inappropriate. Similar, the relatives of a person's wife were your children. We have a principle that says, and Chazal say that if for three generations there are Talmidei Chachamim, Hashem guarantees that me'ata v'ad olam umotzinu sha'Torah poisekes, and yet he said that is shocking. He's saying over here, shocking. Let's clarify over here. And we find today that people marry girls from very, very good. I'm so sorry. A person comes from good stock. His father was a rabbi. His grandfather was a rabbi. His great grandfather was a rabbi. But he marries a woman that's not appropriate. He's saying now the blessing of Lo Yomushu Mipicha Mipi Zaracha Me'atavi Ad Olam is no longer in effect. Wow. There's a condition. The condition is you have to marry something appropriate in order to be zoiche to the bracha. See, he's saying something that does not say in Chazal. Chazal just says a matter of fact. There are three generations of Talmidei Chachamim. Lo Yomushu Mipicha Mipi Me'atavi Ad Olam. The Sefer Chassidim says, not so fast. Don't think you can go marry a shiksa and your children will be Talmidei Chacham. It doesn't work like that. Umotzinu sha'Torah pesekes mehem, lefi, sha'avihem, lokach isha she'ein acheha ba'alei Torah v'tzadikim. A person has to, in order to be zoiche to this blessing, he must follow the rules.
That's why I say it doesn't say lo yinosek, it says mehera lo yinosek. It won't happen quickly, but it will happen.
V'afilu achecha talmidei chachamim, even if her brothers are talmidei chachamim, but the avia bal boal nochus. Now he says of it really, really shocking, which obviously is not for us to understand, but her father was boal nochus, v'hoilid bonim she'ena mihuganim, but her father is not such a great person. A man marries a woman, and she's a great girl, and her brothers are Talmidei Chachamim, but the girl's father also happened to have an affair and have a children with that non-Jewish woman. So obviously the girl turned out very good, and her brothers turned out very good, but she does not necessarily come from good stock. Her yichus is not so great, and the proof is in the pudding. Let's say she comes from a very good family, but she has problems. So he's saying over here, that's why sometimes we see things do not work out the way they do. Now, yeah, this is a very dangerous, dangerous halacha, because today it's already been 800 years since he wrote this. And we said many, many times, laws of parenting and yichus and shidduchim, all this stuff is a minefield. Stay out of this stuff. Person finds a girl, she's a nice girl, so they taught us, she comes from a family that's Shomer Shabbos. Nothing is else is your business.
That's it.
Okay, you wish, right? So as long as Shomer Shabbos, don't go make any cheshbonos. Today we live time ikvus of the Mashiach. The Amamari Chazal that say Achecha should be talmidei chachamim. It's true. It's something to take into consideration. You cannot ignore it. But don't get all worked up because it's not so simple. Okay, we all know, and here he's coming to allude to that. Okay, we read it very quickly. Just because there's a bracha that says three generations, there are so many conditions that have to be met in order to fulfill that bracha. It means that the family, all of three generations, the families that the mothers were all from families that were appropriate. This is 2 days ago, the daf, what was the daf 2 days ago? That in this in Har HaMelech, in the time of Yanai HaMelech, there were 80 sets of Kohanim, brothers. Two brothers married two sisters in Har HaMelech, in Eretz Yisrael before the Korban. And after the Korban, in the entire Bavel, from beginning to end, Misura Ad Naharda, it's like Mehodu V'Yad Kush. You could not even find one family where two brothers were married. There was only one family where two brothers were married to two sisters. But even that, the sisters were daughters of a Kohen, but the two brothers were not Kohanim. So the Gemara was coming to note that in Eretz Yisrael, they were super careful to preserve yichus, appropriate families. You come from the Kohanim, a Mishpacha Miyuchesses, you marry into a Mishpacha Miyuchesses. Ad Kedei Kach, there were 80 families where two brothers were married to two sisters. And the two brothers were Kohanim, and the two sisters were daughters of Kohanim. And that is astonishing. Astonishing in many respects. The population, that such thing can even happen, what the population must have been, and the Hakpada, the demand to preserve pure, pure lineage. And Golos, in Bavel, nothing. Nothing even near, remotely comparable to that. You only found one family where it was a Mishpacha Miyuchesses, that's two brothers married two sisters. And even that, the Yichus was not ideal because the two brothers were not even Kohanim. So he's over here, he's giving us the same, I don't know if it's a Guz, I don't know. I don't know if it's a Guz or not. I don't know the details. I don't know. But over here, he's coming to tell us that this that we find in Mamari Chazal, that tell us, guarantees, lo yemushu mipicha, o mipi zaracha, o mipi zera zaracha, it sounds like a done deal. You get a shidduch, wow, look at that. The father's of the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the Mishpach Miuchesses. How come, Taka, you see that it doesn't always work out, that the children are not always talmidei chachamim? It's because there's a lot more that goes into the calculation than just having, first of all, you don't even know, just because you think someone's a Talmud Chacham, you don't really know what's under the hood. And even if everything does check out, that's only half of the yichus. A man is married to a woman. Where does the woman come from? And you go back all the generations. There are no guarantees, and therefore no one should challenge these Mamari Chazal, because there's a lot more conditions. L'chein yispalel, the only solution for Shidduchim is tefillah. L'chein yispalel kol chosid al zos, sheyidbak, she have the merit to cleave b'isha toiva, sheachecha ve'ach yosecha toivim, v'yaviyo v'yima toivim, a good family, the father and the mother toivim, v'shlo yei davar b'mi, sheyidbak mochem, sheyake ve'zar meliyos talmidei chachamim, these the yichus, he's giving over here, what are the priorities in Shidduchim? Everyone will give you different priorities. Most people, the almighty dollar. The almighty dollar is the ultimate yichus. For some people, the girl should be pretty. For some people, everyone has a different priority. He's over here, the Sefer Hasidim is telling you over here an incredible insight. He's telling you, what's your priority? Family, lineage, yichus. Doesn't talk about money, doesn't talk about beauty, doesn't talk about having a good job. No, he just talks about yichus. What's the tefillah? What's the tefillah? What is your tefillah? Is always your priority. If you want to know what a person's priority is, look what they daven for. That speaks volumes. Priority in Shtuchim Sheyidbak, Beisha Toiva Sheacheha, family, her brothers, the Achyoy Seha, her sisters, Toivim, the Avia, the Ima, her father, her mother, Toivim, the Shalo Yehe Davar, there should not be an issue that will come up in the future generations that will hinder your own children from being Talmidei Chachamim. Sheidavar b'mi sheyidbak bohem sheyaakev ezaro milihiyois Talmidei Chachamim. V'chen yispalel al bonav yal b'noisav sheyasiyem al pirkam. You should pray for your children. They should get married, pirkam, in their right time. That's a great word, pirkam, in their right, their perek. Everyone has a different time. V'sheyu b'chatzlocho toiv, successful. They should have a good life with their wives, a good marriage. Just because you get married, it ain't over yet. Okay? They don't want to see them by the marriage therapist. Have a marriage counselor. Have a good chayim toivim im nishoseihem. Okay, he had obviously a very high standard for marriage. Marriage is not just a wedding. Marriage is life. Marriage is a good marriage. Uvunoisov and your daughters in Ba'alehen v'hu im ishton, pray for your own marriage. Okay? Pray for your own marriage. Someone once showed this to me and it made a very big impression on me. I really like what I saw this. And I actually said this once to a shatran. Shatran says, I tell you, a marriage, you have to work on a marriage. You have to work. What do you think? Everything has to click. It's work. And the shatran says, this is not a young person. I also work on my marriage. I've been married for X number of years, and I continue to work on my marriage. So certainly, when you're first getting married, you have to work on your marriage. So right away came to mind a video clip I saw of Trump. Someone showed this to me, an incredible video clip of Trump. I'm a shugana. I can't say about the president of the United States, a shugana, right? But Trump, when he was running for, when he either became president, running for president, so he was being interviewed by one of the television stations, and they asked him about his wife, Melania, what her role will be as the first lady, v'chulu v'chulu. And then they started going inyan about marriage, and he said, you know, Melania, my marriage with her, it works. It works. He just started praising, it works. What do you mean it works? So he said, you know, he saw that people say you have to work on your marriage. Just because you get married, it's not over. Work. Trump says, let me tell you something. I work the whole day. I'm in business. I make deals. I love to make a deal. I make this deal, a great deal. Not such a great deal. Everything is great. He started bragging, you know, his bombastic language. I work the whole day on my business. When I come home at night, I'm tired. I don't want to work. Don't tell me that when I come home 7 o'clock at night, okay, now it's time to work on your marriage. Excuse me. I spend the whole day working to make money, to be rich and powerful, successful. When I come home at night, I'm tired. I don't want to work. When I come home to my wife, if the marriage has to work by itself. It has to work by itself. Don't give me this business that when you come home, you have to work on your marriage.
Does money help?
I'm sure it does. Okay, so go Google this. It is an amazing. So this shotgun says to me, you have to work. You got to work on your marriage. You have to work. And then she says to me, look at me. I've been married for X number of years. I'm still working on my marriage. And I go like this. Oy vey. Oy vey is to you. If after all these years, you still have to work on your marriage. I like Trump. I like what Trump said. Either it works or it doesn't work. However, you got to see what it says here in the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim was a lot smarter than Trump. And the Sefer Chassidim, he says, so every word he says is Kodesh Kodashim. And he says, see, something very, very powerful. That you have to, V'chein Yispalel, you got to pray that the marriage continues to work. Yeah?
I once heard that where Motzah or Moitzah, why did he ask a person that? It's done already.
Done.
Somebody buys something and it's a shmati, you're going to make it feel
insult him, yeah.
No, it's talking for the future. You have to, that shows you have to tackle work on America. Motzah or Moitzah. Keep going.
So matzah means, yeah, I don't have to work. It's good. Yeah. Moitzah means I have to work the rest of my life. The work has just begun. The work has just begun. So look what he says. He says something here. Let me finish up. He says something here very, very powerful. He says, this is the last word. We're not going to be going for a while. We're going to go into the Chilz Purim. Just because the children got married, you think it's over? And once the marriage is over, the marriage should continue to be a successful marriage. Not just for your sons, and guess what? Yourself. Your own marriage. You think just because you're married for 50 years, it's over? He's saying that you still have to pray, at least, I don't know, work or not work, but you have the siyata, the shmaya, that your own marriage should continue to endure, should be successful. Peace. That's part of the avoid of tefillah. It's an incredible insight into human psychology. The Sefer Chassidim of what the priority of shidduchim, family. Nothing should hinder your good word, hinder from this family, the yichus of this family, preventing your future generations from being talmidei chachamim. That's priority one. Can you imagine? Tell that to someone today. Priority one. Nothing in the yichus of this family should ever hinder a gene. There shouldn't be a gene in this family that will one day come out in your future generations that will hinder them from being talmidei chachamim. That's priority number one. You should pray for that, for the siyata d'shmaya. And you have to pray once you're married. Keep on praying. It ain't over. Sometimes the Shadchan used to say, give you a bracha, you should get married, you should stay married.
Right.
And I never understood why she said that. She used to say that. And my mother told me, she said, you should get married. And then years later, I understood why. Because one of their children got divorced, this person, and it was then, became like public knowledge, is that the marriage was rotten from day one. So why was she saying that? Get married and stay married. She was talking from experience, is that she saw that in her own family. They got married. Wow. You know, wow. You're jealous, right? Oh, look at that. They got a shidduch. Wow, look at that. Big glick. Someone got married. You really know what's going on for the rest of their life? You're miserable. No, it is. But rub-a-da-rub. Okay, 90% of the time, it at least seems to be good. But then you find out years later, you hear all these stories. People that married for 30, 40 years, they get divorced. They wait for the last child to get married, and they get divorced. And then you hear all the garbage, that it was a rotten from day one. Day one, they lived in misery from day one. And today the trend is, don't suffer. If it's not good, get divorced. Is that good? No one knows what to say. But it's a very frightening thing. And he's over here. He hits the nail on the head. He mamish shemil hachosid. Always his musr and his inside is biting. He really picks up on all these nuances that we know to be so true in hindsight today. All right, we're gonna take a short break, and then we're gonna talk about some medical ethics. Verapo. Yirapay.
As long as you hit the nail on the head.
we had.
I called the doctor.
Had shots on the offer.
I called the doctor.
So many years, so to the same woman.
It's in the way, I can't get it.
David.
MRI shows nothing. Yes, you know? So he said it shows nothing, right?
No, the patient's looking at the
spine down. So, is it okay?
I seen the volume too, is there, no?
This is the whole thing.
No. This is mine.